I want to share some things with you tonight, lay a little bit of groundwork. I tell you what's in my heart. It was birthed in a verse of Scripture. And there was a particular individual on my heart when this verse of Scripture came to my heart. And I'm not going to say who that individual was, but God knows who it was. And the verse of Scripture that came to my heart was forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before. And so I began to look at that and think about that and meditate on that. And I turned over to the book of Philippians. And I'll tell you what I want to try to do. Okay? I want to try to take a little journey through the book of Philippians. Not tonight. Amen. We're just going to start tonight, okay? I know some of you didn't bring your pillar and your blanket and your breakfast, amen. So I don't even know if that would work, amen. But tonight, I want to start in Philippians chapter 1. And I want to share with you some things that the Lord has put on my heart. And I hope it'll be a blessing to you. I'm going to preface the Scripture in a moment, but right now we're just going to read it. The Bible said, Paul, in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 1, and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Boy, I don't know about you, but I like that, don't you? I like living among God's people where when I think of them, I can say, thank you, Lord, for letting me be in the family of God. Letting me be among the family of God. Let's pray together. Father, thank you tonight for the offering, Lord, whatever it is. I know it'll be a blessing to our dear brother. I thank you, Lord, tonight for each one that's present. And Lord, I know that some that would be here tonight, other things are going on, and I realize that. And Lord, I know that tonight, God, you have something for us. And I pray, Father, tonight that as we study the Word of God together, help us, we pray. And God, I pray that when we leave here, we would leave encouraged and enthusiastic. And we would leave, Lord, just wanting to exhort others to do the will of God in their lives. Lord, we pray tonight that you'd bathe our Father this lesson. And Lord, help us by the Spirit of God in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. There was something said, way back when Brother Bagwell was here. How many remembers Brother Mike? Brother Mike will be back in September. And having revival, we'll start on Sunday morning and go through Wednesday night. I don't have those dates in front of me, but it won't be long, and we'll put them in the bulletin, and Brother Brian will be announcing them every Sunday. But Brother Bagwell said something when he was preaching one day, when he was here that Sunday. I don't remember if it was the morning or the evening service. He said something about the pastor teaching. And, man, it struck a chord in my heart. And then last week, and I'm not going to say who said it, but I was supposed to be in here teaching the teenagers. And someone said something like this after it was over. Said, I knew you couldn't teach. I knew you couldn't teach. In other words, I guess I got in a little bit of a preaching mode. Amen. Preaching to the teenagers. But I wondered what the difference was. I began to do a little bit of research today. You say, preacher, you've been saved 27 years. Yes, and I've probably forgot more, amen, than I'll ever remember. But I wanted to see in the Word of God, is there a difference? And what is the difference? And is it required of a pastor to teach the Word of God? Now, let me say this. I believe if a pastor's preaching, if he's got substance on the table, he's teaching too. Somebody say amen. There's more to preaching than just spitting and hollering, amen. And it's not so much the tone of your voice or whether you raise your voice or not. But I believe that preaching should have teaching incorporated into it. But I also believe there is a difference. Let me give you some things here that I just lay a little bit of groundwork before we start teaching through the book of Philippians. Jeremiah 3 and verse 15 said this, "And I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding." How many believes that's important? Now the Bible said in Jeremiah 10:21, "For the pastors are become brutish and have not sought the Lord. Therefore shall they not prosper, and all their flocks shall be scattered." So I find in this verse that a pastor, he ought to seek the Lord concerning whatever's going on, amen, that he's responsible for in the house of God. My wife and I were reading yesterday some things that I found, just funny things, and we ran across something that wasn't too funny. I won't get the story exactly right, but two preachers' wives were talking to each other, and they were talking about they were actually mending their husband's trousers or pants, and they were talking to each other. And one of the pastor's wives says, "Man, my husband's having a hard time." Said things are just not going well. Things are going backwards instead of forwards, and it was just a down, down, down type conversation. And the other lady said something about, said, "Well, things are going well in our church, and God is blessing. And my husband's never been happier in his ministry than to be where he is, doing what he is." And then the final line in the thing went like this: while one lady was patching the bottom or the seat of her husband's pants, the other lady was patching the knees. Now, how many of y'all got that? Say amen right there. So I'm telling you that on the authority of God's word, it's important for the pastor to pray and try to seek the mind of God for every service, right? And to do the will of God. And so I thought about that. He said in Jeremiah 23:1, "Woe unto you pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of the pasture, saith the Lord." Jeremiah 23:2, "Therefore thus saith the Lord of Israel, against the pastors that feed my people, you have scattered my flock and driven them away, have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doings, saith the Lord." I actually ran into a pastor one time that told me that was not his job. That was not his job to visit the people. And man, I don't know where he got that from, but I just read something that kind of goes contradictory to that. Amen. And so I'm just laying a little bit of groundwork. You'll get there in a minute with me. The Bible said this, "And he gave some," it's Ephesians 4:11, "apostles," we don't have those today, right? "Some prophets," we don't have those today. "Some evangelists," we have those today, don't we? And did you know that at times the pastor is called upon of the Lord to do the work of an evangelist? That don't make him an evangelist. Amen. But he is called upon to do the work of an evangelist. Now, I can never find in the scripture myself where an evangelist is called upon to do the work of a pastor. But I can find where the pastor is called upon to do the work of an evangelist. Am I doing all right teaching tonight so far? Amen. Is anybody interested? Amen. I'm glad you are. I'm just kidding you. And then he said this, "Some evangelists and some," now notice this conjunction here, "pastors and teachers." Everybody see that right there? Pastors and teachers. I'm coming out of the pulpit, but I'm still teaching. I remember one time I was pastoring a church, and I'm not going to say the man's name. I will say the subject. I was teaching on Wednesday nights on the subject of soul winning, on how to approach people, how to talk to people, how to listen to people, scripture that you would use. And Brother Gale, I was worse than you are in Bible school. I was on that subject for a solid 6 months. 6 months. Now you say, "Preacher, how could you take every Wednesday night for 6 months?" I dare you to take any subject in the Bible and begin to study it, and 6 months will be up before you know what's going on. But I had a man came to me, and this, well, I'll just go ahead and say it. He was a deacon. And this is what he said to me. He said, when are you going to get off of that and get on to something else? Wow. You say, well, preacher, what in the world did you do? Well, I just kept plowing where I'd been plowing. I figured if you're that close to the road, just keep on plowing. Amen. And I'm trying to set this up tonight to help you to understand that, we may be in the book of Philippians for a while. How far I got today in my studies, and I doubt if I'll get done with it tonight. I got halfway through the first verse. Now, are y'all interested in anything like that? I'm asking you, amen? And would you like to go through and study a book of the Bible together? Well, I think it's important. But I wanted you to see that God put it in my heart. I told my wife, I said, one of the reasons I don't believe I'm much of a teacher these days is because I've been preaching for 11 solid years. Amen? And I don't know about you, but it's hard for me to back up. I like going forward. Amen? But I'm trying to get you to see that teaching is not backing up. Teaching is part of the ministry. And teaching is important in the church of the living God. A bishop then in 1 Timothy 3 and 2 said, must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, and apt to teach. That's right there in the Bible. Now, the Bible said in 2 Timothy 2:24, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men. I thought about Brother Houston when I read this verse today. He must be gentle unto all men, apt to teach. And God said, not only is that pastor supposed to be apt to teach, but he's supposed to be patient. Amen. How many's been around long enough to know why I just named Brother Houston when he said, I noticed that about you. Amen. I never have forgot that. Don't believe I ever will. I read this as I read about this verse. He should be apt to teach, one capable of teaching. Not only wise himself, but ready to communicate that wisdom to others. One whose delight is to instruct those that are out of the way. He must be a preacher, an able, zealous, fervent, and here's a word, assiduous. How many could jump up right quick and tell me what assiduous means? I sure couldn't, so I looked it up. He must be an assiduous preacher. It means showing great care and perseverance. God wants us to persevere. Hosea said this. He said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. How many of you all believe this? We are living in a scripturally illiterate society. I really believe that. Amen. And I mean, the average youngin can tell you what's on the television at what time and what day. But as far as knowing where to find the book of Hosea or knowing the verses in the scripture, then my friend, gets slack. And sometimes it's the same way with mom and dad. In the dictionary, to teach means to show or to explain how to do something. And in the Greek, in our Bible, it comes from a word, and I'm going to take a stab at the pronunciation, didaktikos. It means instructive, apt to teach. Now, I thought about where was an example of that in the Bible. In Nehemiah chapter 8, the Bible said, remember when they found the book of the law? They found the Bible. In Nehemiah chapter 8, I had somebody say this in a conference. They said, right here is what preaching and teaching all about, should be all about. In Nehemiah 8:8, it said, so they read in the book of the law distinctly. Did you know that we're living in a society where people don't even want to do that? They don't even want to read in the book of the law distinctly. I remember the other night, and we had teenagers here, and they were all the way back to about where Brother Arnold and Sister Kathy is. They had this part about full. And I really was not looking for this answer. But in my lesson on the feet, I was talking about the path. Where are our feet taking us? What path are our feet in? 17 times Jesus said, follow me. And if we follow him, then our feet are going to be in a path behind him. And I talked about how that television has got their program saying, follow me. Men kissing men, women kissing women. I made that statement in that lesson. And then I said, now, you know, they're pulling, they're saying, come on over here and follow us. Jesus is saying, follow me if you're a born-again believer. And I said, now, listen, I said, they may call that acceptable, but God calls it. And I stopped like that. I was just looking for a simple word, Brother Gale, like sin, like God calls. I would have been tickled to death to get that word if one of the teenagers would have said sin. There was a young man sitting right here in the middle. He said an abomination. Now, I'm going to tell you something about that young man. I don't know where he's going to church or where, but he didn't learn that from the CBS News. Somebody say amen. He learned that from the Word of God somewhere. And so it means to instruct. And I want you to see that it's important that we read in the law of God distinctly and gave the sense. In other words, I said all that about the teens to say this. We're living in a generation that's wanting to skip portions of the Scripture. They just want to skip it. Let's just skip that portion. You know what I mean? God never wants that. He said for us to preach and teach the whole counsel of God. And I believe that's important. Now, to preach, what does that mean? I found two different Greek words for the same word, preach. And I'm going to use an example of Jesus and an example of Paul in both of them in the word preach. So turn to Matthew chapter number 4 and verse number 17. I'm still laying groundwork. We'll get to Philippians in just a moment, I promise. Matthew chapter 4 and verse number 17. I didn't copy these verses down. I just wanted to turn to them, wanted all of us to see them together. Matthew chapter 4 and verse number 17. The word preach in this comes from the Greek word, and this one's pretty easy to say, keruso, and that's what it means to preach. The definition is to herald as a public crier, especially divine truth, preacher, proclaim, publish. And in Matthew chapter number 4 and verse 17, from that time Jesus began to preach. That's what the Word of God said. How many knows you can find other places where Jesus went out on the boat a little ways? He shoved out from the shore and he sat there on the edge of the boat and he taught the people. You remember? So Jesus is doing both. Is that not right? You see him here preaching and you'll see him teaching. And the Word of God said this. It said he began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, I want us to use our mind just a moment, our imagination for just a moment, and I want to ask yourself this question: do you believe Jesus when he said that? He said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." I believe he cried. That Bible uses that word "preach" right there. I believe it was "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." See, the Bible said over there in the book of Isaiah, lift up your voice like a trumpet. Tell the house of Israel their sin and my people their transgression. So I'm just wanting you to see the difference in how the words are used. Go with me, if you will, to 2 Timothy chapter 4, and verse number 2. I think I can quote that verse. And y'all turn there and I'll try it. I think that says, preach the word. Is that the one that says, preach the word, be instant in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. So again, that's not the word teach, that's the word preach. And I believe it's important to see that there is a difference. There is a difference. I believe that God calls people to teach, that God doesn't call to preach. But I believe if I'm understanding what God's showing me in the Scripture, it's expected of the pastor to do both. Is anybody with me right there? It is expected of the pastor to do both. And so then if you look That means to herald now, especially divine truth. Preach, preacher, proclaim, publish. Now, how many remembers, the Lord just reminded me of Jonah. How many remembers what God told him to do? He said, I want you to go down to Nineveh, and what do I want you to do? Cry out. How many remembers that? Amen. I believe that's this kind of preaching right here. Cry out against it. Now, Jonah didn't want to do that because Jonah didn't like them folk. And Jonah knew that if he went down there and preached, amen, that they would repent. And he didn't really care nothing about that. Amen. But God had a way of persuading his man to do what he wanted him to do after the fish got the upset stomach. So now look at Jesus in Luke. Now this one is very hard to say. The same word preach, but it comes from a Greek word. I'm going to try it. Euangelizo. It's spelled U-A-G-G-E-L-I-Z-O. And I'm going to show it to you in Jesus' life in Luke and also in Paul's life in the book of Romans. So if you'll go back to Luke chapter number 4, and then we're going to go to Romans chapter number 1. In Luke chapter number 4 and verse number 18, Jesus said this. This is quoted out of the book of Isaiah. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Now, I am not slamming or putting anybody down. If I'm doing anything when I make the statement I'm about to make, I am thanking my God for our church. How many of y'all realize we had some poor folk around here last week? We had some folk around here last week, the best meal they've gotten in weeks or months. They got it right over there in the fellowship hall. Now, Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Now, watch. And get back to it here. My eyes are welled up. And the Bible said, he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised. I want you to know tonight, folk, as far as I know, everybody in this building tonight, God's been good to us. Amen. God has been good to us. Some might have a little more than others, but how many can say God has been good to us? Amen. I'm not wondering in the morning if I'm going to have something to eat. I might be wondering what I'm going to eat. Amen. I was reading that book by Dr. Gene Lasley. He pastored over Buffalo Ridge for years. And Brother Lasley said that they had a men's prayer breakfast on Saturday morning. Said without fail, every time he would come in, his wife would say, now, honey, what did you eat? And he said, I would always say oatmeal. You'll get that after a while. He said, I really hope she knew that I really hadn't had oatmeal every time we went out to eat on Saturday morning. Amen. There was another preacher used to hang out around here that would say, oh, don't tell Sister Geraldine. Amen. He liked them ham biscuits, didn't he? Amen. And so what I'm getting at here is Jesus said he's preaching. And the word preach here, just it means to announce the good news, especially the gospel, to bring, to declare the glad tidings, to preach the gospel. Why in the Greek language it's two different words, I don't know. I just know that it is. And it one of them refers more to evangelism, more to preaching the word of God as the gospel. Now, go to Paul in Romans chapter 1 and verse 15. I think I can quote that verse, but I'm not sure. Let's see. Oh, somebody get me started. What now? So as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to them that are at Rome also. Is that right? Is that all of it? Okay. And then it said something. What was the next verse? How's the next verse? Did you also... For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek. Amen. So that same word is used right there. Now, we're going to just get started a little bit tonight on Philippians. I'm just trying to lay a little bit of groundwork. And you know, some might say, well, preacher, we can't tell if you're teaching or if you're preaching. I tell you what, if you're getting the Word of God, just thank God for it. Amen. And if it's coming out of me, just thank God for it. And I'm just saying there should be, whether I'm preaching or I'm teaching, there should be substance to what is being said. Amen. A missionary called me today. He said two things, and I asked my wife to help me to hear the first thing. I really could not understand. I couldn't make it out. I couldn't understand it. Well, good news. My wife couldn't either. Amen. But the second thing was very, very legible. And Sister Jennifer, you're going to like this. He said, preacher, keep a praying. And we'll keep knocking holes in the darkness. I said, hallelujah. Amen. God is able, isn't he? Amen. All right. Philippians chapter number one. Let me see if I can find it again. I know it's here in the New Testament somewhere. Amen. Praise the Lord. I will say this. According to what preachers have said to me through the years, I'm supposed to be toning it down. And I'm supposed to be getting over it, so to speak. But I'm going to tell you, every time I get that book, I get so excited when my Lord starts showing me things. I mean, you say, preacher, can you understand that at least for me? Help me, amen. Brother Brian, are you that way when you're getting ready for Sunday school and boom, 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 you start bouncing like a ping pong ball from here to there to here to there. And man, before you know it, you just have to wonder, where did I start? Because you're researching and looking in the Scripture and comparing Scripture with Scripture and studying to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Well, let's get started tonight and see where we can go tonight, okay? In Philippians chapter 1, Paul and Timothy, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints which are in Christ Jesus at Philippi, with the bishops and the deacons. Let me ask you this question. I'm going to just start and go down through here. First, I'll talk a little bit about the location of Philippi. I didn't know where it was till I studied it out. I thought it was much closer to Israel and to Jerusalem, but it's up there in Macedonia. And we have scripture for that. It's on the northern border. I'm not sure how you pronounce it. Aegean, A-G-E-A-N, of the Aegean Sea. And the Aegean Sea borders to the north of the Mediterranean Sea. And when you start looking at Paul's missionary journeys, I'm telling you, especially the way they traveled back then, sometimes he sailed. And if you looked at them missionary journeys, you'd understand why he got in a boat. You'd understand why that... Who was with us? Brother Pridmore. We just picked up for support. Brother Brad Pridmore's getting in a boat to go to Haiti. It's going to save him a lot of air time and a lot of time getting to where he needs to go. And it neighbors the town of Neapolis. It's real close. It's not right on the sea. Philippi is not right on the sea, but it's very close to the sea. I had the privilege to go into Philippi when we were over there. On our way either to or from Israel. Now, he said here, Paul and Timotheus and Philippi, as they come to Philippi, it was named after Philip the king, actually Philip the second, the king of Macedonia. And he was the one who much enlarged the city and beautified it. Afterwards, after the death of Julius Caesar, it became a Roman colony. And so that's just a little bit of groundwork about the city. How many knows an event in the book of Acts that should spark our minds quickly that happened at Philippi? Anybody know? Anybody know? Acts chapter 16. Does that help anybody? Bob? Okay, I didn't hear you, Bob. One more time. Right, right. And their money-making scheme got tore up, didn't it? Amen. Something else happened at Philippi. Who was the man that said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" It was the Philippian jailer. That's exactly right. And that's an event that happened at Philippi. I'm just throwing that out there to you to just kind of wet your whistle a little bit. You can go back and study in the journeys of Paul and see what else happened there at Philippi. And so it was a chief city of that part of Macedonia. Now, I'm going to give you some things tonight. I'm nowhere near. My computer in there was running the sheets off, and my wife said, "Tonight?" I said, "Well, honey, that's only half of one verse." Amen. I don't know. I hope you're as excited about this as I am. Amen. How many's ever heard a preacher say, "Stay with me, we're going somewhere"? Well, I don't know when we'll get there, but stay with me, we're going somewhere. Amen. We're going somewhere. Don't start that like them youngins on vacation. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Okay. But one of the things I thought was really important, how many knows who's writing the book of Philippians? The Apostle Paul. But in the very first verse, he says, "Paul and Timotheus." I thought about that today, and boy, did it bless my heart. It's very important, especially the older men of God. How many older men of God we got in here tonight? It's very important that we respect the office of that younger man of God. See, sometimes you'll get around men of God that intimidate. How many knows what I'm saying right there? The younger men of God. I thought about this today, and it's important here. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, I thought about an illustration. He includes Timothy, the younger, and many of you don't know it, but my middle name is Timothy. My name is Richard Timothy, and I'm not called by either one of them. Go figure. Amen. But my mama didn't know that I was going to preach. I know, but I happen to believe God did. Amen. And I had an experience years ago, and I think I've shared this with the church before, but it fits so well right here. How many of you knew of or ever heard Brother Mays Jackson preach? I'm telling you, as far as I'm concerned, if you want to know, it's not that I sat down and patterned my ministry after his, but if you want to know why that this preacher, I didn't learn it in a school. I didn't learn it. Have y'all noticed that my outlines most of the time are alliterated? I'll tell you why I do that, Brother Mays Jackson. It was easier for me to remember the points in his messages when he preached. So that rubbed off on me. You can't help some things, amen, but I'm not ashamed of that. Brother Mays, we were taking him back to the airport. My pastor, Brother Wishon, he had one of them old Lincolns, Brother Fred, that had a front end on it that was about 8 foot long. I'm not joking. How many members of the old Lincoln? It looked like an 8 foot bed of a pickup sticking out there. And I'll never forget this as long as I live. I hadn't been saved but maybe a month or so. I was called to preach 30 days, about a month, right along there after that I was saved on February 22nd. And I know it was the third week in March when I was called to preach. But I was a young preacher, and my pastor asked me if I wanted to go to the airport to take Brother Mays back to the airport. Brother Mays had been preaching for my pastor's son-in-law's father in the neighboring town in Marion, Virginia. I said, "Sure, preacher." It was a Saturday. The meeting closed out. So we're taking him to the Tri-Cities Airport. Brother Mays is a big man. I mean, he was a big man. And Brother Mays, I was sitting in the back seat, a young preacher. I mean, just still sucking on a milk bottle. Amen. I hadn't even been saved long. And Brother Mays turned his back to the passenger door and hiked his leg up in the seat like that and talked to my pastor as he drove and to me in the back seat. How many of you all can get that picture in your heart and in your mind? Brother Ralph, he treated me like I was important. And I had something to do in life, and that I wasn't just something to step on the way or to intimidate. He treated me like a human being. I'm going to tell you something right now. If you ever get around real men of God, you'll find the same of every one of them, won't you, Brother Dennis? I'm telling you, they're humble. They ain't got their head all up in the sky. Amen. And they treat people the same, and they're not a respect of persons. And I believe in this very opening line, you see that in the Apostle Paul. Paul and Timotheus. I read where Silas was probably with him here as well. And we want to just go on in the message tonight. We've got to have a business meeting, and it's 4 minutes to eight. And I'm about that far down on the first page. Amen. But I'm looking forward to it. I hope, if nothing else, we can come back next Wednesday just looking forward to it. I'll go back and look at it again. You never know. The Lord might add something else. Amen. I about guarantee you He will. Now watch this. We see in the book of Acts, talking about Philippi, a vision appeared to Paul in the night. And until I studied today, shame on me. But until I studied today, I didn't know that this vision that appeared to Paul in the night had anything to do with Philippi, because it says Macedonia. There was a Macedonia. A man in Macedonia said, come over and help us. Somebody remembers that. Remember when the Spirit of God hindered Paul from going one way? And right here we find that Philippi is the principal city in Macedonia. And what it blessed me. It blessed my heart when I found that out. And so tonight we see that Philippi is being mentioned either directly or indirectly several times in the book of Acts. What I want to look at, and what I'm just going to pick it up tonight, wet your whistle a little bit. But what I want to look at that really I got hung up on today is the second phrase in verse number 1. The servants of Jesus Christ. I want to ask you a question. And I'm not trying to set you up. Had I asked myself this question, I probably would have answered it. But is there a greater title that could be given to a child of God than to be a servant? Listen to what the Bible said here. I want you to see this and we'll quit here in a minute. In Acts chapter 16 and verse number 17, the same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. Now I'm going to bring this thing down to a close right here just a minute. First of all, let me say this. Paul wasn't running around in that verse of Scripture right there, saying we're the servants of the Most High God. We're the servants of the Most High God. Somebody else was saying it about him. Now, when Paul is writing to the church at Philippi, he says, Paul and Timotheus, servants. And I believe it's important. The word servant is so important. And we're going to get into that, and we're going to look at that and see examples of that. And my life verse, the verse that that God gave me for a life verse, I got tickled when Brother Jones was here and Sister April was back there. And she came to me one night after the meeting, tears welled up in her eyes. And she said, I have a new life verse. God had spoken to her heart and given her some relief in an area and where the Bible said, Jesus said, he that cometh to me, I'll in no wise cast out. Well, I'll tell you what, there's some peace to be found right there. But my life verse is 2 Corinthians 4 and 5. For we preach not ourselves. How many of y'all be ready to throw up every Sunday? And I wouldn't be around here long if we come in here preaching ourselves. We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. And ourselves, your servant. For Jesus' sake. I want to say this now, and I'm going to close. We'll have the business meeting. I'm going to go back, and I know Brother Brian, I'm not trying to steal his thunder. He's got a meeting scheduled for Sunday concerning the Bible school. But you know what I saw last week? A whole lot of servants. And I will guarantee you that you couldn't have went anywhere. You couldn't have went to the kitchen and said, well, let's just take this group of servants and have Bible school. You couldn't have done it. You couldn't have went to the memory work and said, let's just have this group of servants and we'll have Bible school. You couldn't have come in the auditorium and said, let's just take this group of servants and we'll have Bible school. You couldn't have went outside at the games and said, let's just take this group of servants and we'll have Bible school. You couldn't have went over to the store and said, well, let's just take this group. And I hope I didn't miss anybody right there. I'm just going the teachers and the classes, the memory work, all that was going on over there and over. It was all over this place. As a matter of fact, that man back there was racking his brain. Where am I going to put them? Where am I going to put them? Where am I going to put them? He came out there saying that to me, and he said, now, preacher, I'm not complaining. Good problems, good problems. Amen. Where am I going to put them? But here's what I want to say. God put this in my heart. Don't you get mad at me. Our service is not over. Hopefully, Brother Brian, somewhere we got them cards, don't we? We got them. We got addresses. We got phone numbers, don't we? And here's what I'm going to beg of you tonight. And I thought this would be at the end of the lesson on the first half of that verse of Scripture. We're just scratching at that right now. We'll get to it. But I want you, the teachers, Brother Brian, you can bring this up if you want to. I'm sure we're missing some teachers tonight. I know we got some teachers on vacation, different things. But I tell you what, we should not just drop the Bible school and drop those cards. And if we know that there's kids that are unchurched, we're not out there now. I know we had kids in here out of other churches. No way are we out there trying to pull on them. But how many believes we ought to follow up? Say amen. We ought to follow up on those youngins. And you say, preacher, that's going to take work. You say, preacher, I thought Bible school was over. I thought that work was just over. Well, it is if we want it to be. But I believe in God's mind, it's far from over. Amen. We got to go and we got to see if we can help them. And we got to see if we can get them here and to a Sunday school class and see if we can get them under the preaching of the Word of God. I'm still, my mind all day has been on little Casey. I think Casey's 13 years old. And I don't know if Casey's been saved. Something brought him back to church Sunday morning. I know that. Amen. I thought about the little girl, the little six-year-old, Grayson and her mommy. I know they're not in church. I thought about the other girl, Caitlin. I'm not even sure. I was so elated that she trusted the Lord. You know what I mean? So I'm just saying there's follow-up work to be done. And what would it be like to be one of those children or one of those parents? You say, well, preacher, how in the world are we ever going to do it? Well, we're just going to have to be a servant of the Most High God. We'll just show up and say, Lord, here am I. What do you want me to do today? And did you know what? If two different people from Bible Way knock on the same door concerned about the same youngins, that would be okay. Nobody's going to. But what if nobody, amen, ever shows a concern? I'm just trying to help us. I believe this church is full of servants. And I believe part of teaching is instructing. Amen. That the Bible school's over, but it's not over. I was teaching Brother Brian this, and he's hung on to it because he's brought it back to me since I first came here. Churches don't grow like this. That's not how churches grow. Churches grow like this. Like stair steps. That's how churches grow. So when we have revival, we should look for, then it'll level off a while. When we have Bible school, we should look for, then it'll level off a little while. How many's understanding that? Amen. But part of that is that servant's heart that says, hey, how many of y'all fell in love with some kids around here last week? I mean, I know you had to, didn't you, sis? I mean, how many of y'all wanted to hang some kids around here last week? He's over 6 foot and his name's Bob. Amen. Amen. I'm just aggravating y'all. I'm glad I have that liberty. Amen. I love y'all. But let's not forget them. Let's not forget them. And if you didn't have a job teaching, and you know one of the teachers or something, you want to ask Brother Brian, is there somebody I could follow up on? Boy, that would be great. That would be great. Amen. I believe the Lord would. I don't believe the Lord would have them for a week and then just forget about them. Do you? I don't believe He would at all. How many of y'all are excited about going through Philippians? I am. Amen. We'll come back next Wednesday night, the good Lord willing, and pick up there in the middle of verse number 1 and chapter number 1. Father, thank You tonight for our dear people. Thank You, God, for their willingness, Lord, a servant's heart. Lord, we know that, Lord, we're blessed. God, I've never been a part of a church where there was so much willingness. God, I thank You for that willingness. Lord, I pray You'd help me never to do anything that would hinder that spirit. But Lord, just to be used as a tool in the hand of the Holy Spirit of God to help that spirit here on this hill at Bible Way. Father, I praise You tonight for our people, for them young people, Lord, and the moms and dads that flooded this place on Friday night. Lord, the seed has been sown. God, we water it tonight, asking You to give the increase in Jesus' name.